What a blessing it is to be in God's house and to be able to be with other people and praise Him and worship Him and serve Him, not even to the point that He deserves, but in a way that we can do. And so we just want to take and I know, give everything back to Him. But you know, as I was praying this week and going over this message, and I've not really been trying to do revival messages. Our revival, of course, started with Ken Roller that Sunday morning on the 7th, and then Dave Steinmuller that night, and then Ken Spurgeon last Sunday night, and then Jim Roller will be tonight, and I'm just kind of what's stuck in the middle on the Sunday mornings, but it seems like the message that God gave me this week is kind of along that line of a revival. And as I prepared this message, I thought, you know, why do we seek to have a revival? And I'm sure there are some kids here, and maybe not even kids, maybe, you know, young adults that have never been to an actual revival where you went every night back to back, you know, 5, 6, 7 nights, 2 weeks in a row at revival services every night. And so this is a little bit different, but this was just our way. And I thought this week about why do we have revivals? And I thought of some of the answers that people would give. Well, you know, because it's fall and you're supposed to have a fall revival. You know, and used to you had one in the spring too, and so it's that time of year. Or maybe because we haven't had one in a long time, it just seemed like the thing to do. Or maybe somebody else had one at their church, and we ought to try that, you know, type of, for whatever reason. But then when it comes down to it, those are just meetings. And then we realize that the purpose to have a revival is we know we are not where we belong. And I know a lot of times it seems like revivals, when I was growing up and going to revivals, and it seemed like the pastor at the end or the evangelist at the end would always have this really long invitation service, and you'd sing "Just As I Am" 52 times, it seemed like. Maybe because I was supposed to be coming forward and I wasn't, so it seemed like it was a lot longer. And it was like, man, that's a great time for people to get saved. And yes, it is. Any time is a great time for somebody to get saved. But revival truly is that time to be, as Ken said that first morning, revived if you're already vived. But as we look at this week, this passage that God has given me, it's in Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want to turn there. Probably one of the best passages on revival in the Bible. But it's really not talking to the New Testament church, but we're going to use that because I believe it's the way God wants us to learn this morning. But when we take and we realize that if you're lost, then you're not where you're supposed to be. If you're saved and you're just kind of walking through life, then you're not where you're supposed to be. And even if you think you're the best Christian you could possibly be, you are still not where you're supposed to be. We all need to be closer to God than we are. Every single person in this place needs to be closer to God. And so this morning we're going to read from Ezekiel. And this is a very familiar passage, the passage that you've heard about, the Valley of Dry Bones. And so that's where we're going to be. So if you turn to 37, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and He led me around among them, and behold, they were very many of them on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, You know.' Then He said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there was sinew on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, and an exceedingly great army. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you would use your spirit today to teach us to know what it is you have for us, for each of us. Lord, help us to put aside all distractions. Help us to focus on your word and hear your word only. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to just present it. Lord, I pray that we hear it. I pray that we are what you want us to be. Lord, may you be glorified in this morning and in the rest of our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Always when I would read over this passage, as a youth pastor, I always thought, man, how freaky would that be? To be Ezekiel and God is saying, I want you to prophesy. And first he takes you out and he puts you in the middle of this valley of these dead bones. And then as he goes through the process that we're going to talk through, you turn around and here they all standing up like zombies, you know, for today's life. They just had no life in them, but they're just there. But as we look at this passage, it's like I said, it's written to the Old Testament. Ezekiel is prophesying to the children of Israel because they have been a long time away from God. And they had strayed and they had been where they weren't supposed to be. They had turned their backs on God and sought other gods to try to serve and fulfill their wants and their needs. And of course, those were not real gods, so that didn't work. And so as he's speaking about the children of Israel, and he's talking about how they were scattered and how they needed to be brought back, and that ultimately God would revive or will revive the nation of Israel. And that's what this passage is talking about. Tell the people that there's hope. Even though they're scattered, even though they're lifeless and they're out there doing those things that they shouldn't be doing, there's hope in God that God will revive them and draw them back and put life in them. And I love in that passage there when he says at the beginning in verse 5, he says, I will put breath in you. Then he talks about putting the skin and everything on. And then at the end he says, and I will put breath in you. And twice he says in that one verse, he says, and you shall live. I'm not just going to put you all back together, but you're going to live. And so that's key for us as we go into this. And so as I'm going to kind of go through how God is talking about the children of Israel, and then I'm going to flip it over and look at us. Because he says here, he showed Ezekiel that he sees them as scattered, dry, lifeless bones. I mean, they weren't even skeletons. They're scattered all over this valley, and there are many of them, and they're not like the shin bone connected to the knee bone type yet. That part of the song comes a little bit later. But they are just scattered like it was a big war that had destroyed them. But what he's talking about is the children of Israel had been scattered out in captivity. Some were in Babylon and some were in different countries and some were just out in the wilderness. But the people of God, the ones that God had chosen as his people, Israel, were not where they were supposed to be. They were scattered. They weren't even together. You know, we meet in the church on a Sunday morning and we meet together. They were scattered. And so that's why he shows them this valley of bones that are scattered. And they're not only scattered, but they are dry and lifeless. They had walked away from God, the God of living water, the God that had fed them and give them water throughout the desert. He had taken care of them and they had walked away from him and they had become lifeless. They served dead gods. And as he says that had happened quite a while, because he goes on to say that they were very dry. It wasn't like they just kind of wandered away from God and then came back. They had been away a long time. That's going to come back to bite us later, I'm just saying. But as we look at this, they were scattered. They had been spiritually dry for so long. And as they were away from God, they were content. They were okay. Because even though we're in captivity, we've got people that are watching over us. We can serve their gods. We can do the things that they're doing. And it'll be okay. They had stayed away so long that they thought that was okay. Now, as we look at this analogy of what Ezekiel, God is telling Ezekiel about the children of Israel, it comes really pointed to us. As Christians and as churches, we look at this passage and we want to say, well, that's talking about just the children of Israel. But how close is it to us? Because God calls us in the New Testament to be one. We're supposed to be in unity of one mind and one spirit. We're to be together. And too many times it's your church versus my church, and that church over there is not with us, and we're against that church back there, really. But God wants us as Christians to be united. He wants us to be together. These children of Israel were scattered everywhere. And God wanted to bring them back to where they made one body. And for us as Christians, God wants us to be one body. And He calls us to be united. Not only that, there are a lot of times that, like this valley of dry bones, that they were very dry, that as Christians, we're okay to be a little dry. My wife is always after me, and I'll just show you, to carry around a bottle of water. You need to drink more water. You need to drink more water. And I do. I do need to. I don't necessarily drink it, but I do need to. But I at least carry it around to make her feel good. But I'm okay to get a little thirsty. I'm okay to not carry a bottle of water around. Because I know at lunchtime I'll get something to drink. Or I know after lunch that I'll be okay to find something to drink at supper. And so I end up putting up with being a little thirsty. And man, spiritually we are so much worse. Man, to get the living water that God has for us, I'll be okay. I'll get some more next Sunday. Well, I'll get a little bit Thursday night at the Bible study. We are satisfied to be dry Christians. Now, we don't picture ourselves as dry. But you know, I bet those bones didn't picture themselves as dry either. But when somebody from the outside, like Ezekiel, that's in a relationship and talking with God, looks at those bones, he can see they are dry and have no life. Not even a bit of moisture in them. Sometimes I wonder how I look. Because I know I'm drier than I need to be. You know, I may not be to the point that I'm parched, that I'm crawling to the altar and asking God to fill me, but I'm okay. I'll make it till supper. I'll make it till next week. And we're satisfied with being a little spiritually dry. And it says that they were spiritually dry. And then God asks Ezekiel a question. And this question is one that I've got for us too. I think God would have us answer this question. And he says there, he says, Son of man, can these bones live? Now here he is looking at this valley of bones that are not even connected to each other. And they're just scattered everywhere. And they're dry as can be. They've been laying out in the sun for who knows how long. And they're not just dead bodies. They're just scattered bones. And God says, can they live again? And then Ezekiel gives one of those answers like you and I would give. Well, God, only you know. I'm not going to say yes. And I'm sure not going to say no. So I'm just going to put it back to God knows everything. Hey, I'll just give it back to you. God, you only know. But stop and think about this. Here's Ezekiel, and God is saying, can these bones live again? If we wanted to take and turn that thought towards us as Christians today, too many times we look at it like the church is a lost cause. Man, our world is spiraling downhill, and the things that are going on in it are terrible, and it seems like Satan is having his way with 90% that's out there. And we just think it's a hopeless cause. But was it worse than this? Our world is terrible. The things that they follow, the things that they desire, the way that they're so confused, the way that they follow Satan is terrible. But is it worse than this? A valley of dry, scattered bones? And God can take and put life back into that? You think He can't put life back into His church today? But the question goes back to us, do you believe that the church can live again? And we would be like Ezekiel and say, heaven only knows. Because if we say yes, then what's your response? If I say yes, then I'm responsible to do something about it. I'm responsible to allow that life to come back into me and let God light me up and change me so that He might touch someone else around me. And so He asks Ezekiel that question. Are these bones a hopeless cause? And He asks you and me, is the church today a hopeless cause? If it is, why are we here? I can worship God at home. Why are we here? Because we are the body of Christ, together, united, not scattered, together, united, with the Spirit living in us. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. The church is not a lost cause. It's just too many Christians are satisfied with being dry. Well, we'll be okay. If we get to that point that we're not, God will step in and He'll... Maybe He's stepping in right now. Maybe He's showing us what this world is like so that we'll step up. So that we'll come back to Him and say, God, fill me in such a way that You can use me the way You did these dry bones. I feel like that God wants to use the church the way He did these dry bones. And so as we look at that and we ask ourselves, do you believe? Let's look at what He said that these bones needed. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Key right there. Number one of the two things that they need is to hear the word of the Lord. These bones have nothing until they hear the word of the Lord. They are dry, useless, scattered, lifeless, dead bones until they hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord for them was that He's going to breathe life into them, and He's going to bring skin and flesh back on them and breathe life into them. And that was the word for them. Now, He's not telling us today that He's going to bring flesh and skin on us, but He's telling you something. And you've got to hear the word of the Lord, and you're only going to hear it from right here. Not here, right here. You've got it at your house. You've got it on your phone. You've got it on your iPad. You've got it on your computer. You have access to the word of the Lord. You have to hear it. I can preach it all day. Your Sunday school teacher, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, they can tell you all day long what the word of the Lord says. But until you hear what He has for you, because the word of the Lord that He had for those bones, that's not for me. That was Old Testament. the word of the Lord that He has for you is in that Bible. And you're only going to hear it if you listen to it. And so many times we think, oh, well, we hear the word of the Lord every Sunday, and we hear it on Thursday nights at Bible study or Sunday nights at Bible study, and we hear the word of the Lord. You know, when I'm driving down the road, I hear my radio sometimes. I'm not paying any attention to it. Or, unfortunately, and my wife would probably say amen on this, so I'm going to beat her to it, she talks a lot to me. And you know where I'm going, right? I don't always hear everything. And I'm not the only one in that category, so don't all of you laugh at me. And then my hearing aids, and when I take those out, somebody will say something to me and I'll say, what? What? Because I don't hear what they say. How many times do we hear God's Word and not hear God's Word? Because that's what gets us. We think that I'm hearing enough. Well, when I was in high school, probably junior high, I always thought there was this idea out there that if I slept with my math book under my pillow, you know, you've heard of that? And I tried it. It doesn't work. It just gives you a crick in the neck. That's all it does. But that's the mentality we have with the Bible. If I'm just around when it's taught or preached, then it's going to soak right in. Never happens in the Bible. Yeah, it's good to hear it. And it says His Word's not going to return Him void, but it's going to accomplish everything He sets it out to do. But man, I've got to be receptive to it. I've got to hear it. I've got to believe it. I've got to receive it for it to change me. And the problem is, sometimes I'm like these dry bones. And the word of the Lord spoke, and He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. And man, all of a sudden this rattling starts taking place, and I can just imagine what Ezekiel might be thinking as he hears all this rattling going on around him, and they start coming together. And he takes and it puts it all together. And then here are these lifeless bodies. Man, sometimes I think God has got me pieced together. He has me where He wants me, so that's good. He has the right shin bone connected to the right thigh bone type of deal. He's got me where He wants me, so that should be good. It wasn't good enough for them. They were so much better off than they were. Instead of being a dry bone scattered this far away from your skull, He brought them together. He had flesh and blood in them and skin over them. But that wasn't enough. Says that after he prophesied, it all came together. He says, but there was no breath in them. Man, there was still something missing. Man, we can come together every Sunday. We can pack this place out. We can pack out every place in town that's there to preach the gospel. But if we're just together, that's not enough. It's got to be tied together with the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of God. It uses the word breath, which actually in the Old Testament most times is referring to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the living God in the Old Testament didn't indwell Christians. He would come and He would be upon them and He would give them strength and He would do things. But after Christ died on the cross, the Spirit came at Pentecost to dwell within us. That's what He's there for. To make us alive in Christ. Coming together is not enough. It has to do with the Spirit of God giving us life. Too many times, that's scary. Used to, when I was growing up, they would say the Holy Ghost. Well, no, we can't use that word ghost because that's scary. And then it's like we're talking the Spirit of God. Ooh. People don't want to talk about that because I can't control that. I don't know how that works. I don't understand all that. But the bottom line is without the Spirit of God, we are nothing. We have to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within us as Christians, or we do not live. We are walking around as zombies that meet on Sunday morning. That's where we're at. He wants us to follow this pattern, that we will go from being lifeless, scattered, all the way to the point of where life is breathed in us by God alone. So he tells them here, he says, that they have to hear the word of God. And then he says, now prophesy or pray to the breath. Pray for the Spirit. Pray for the Spirit to come from the four winds and breathe on us. How long has it been since you've prayed for the Spirit to move inside you? Because that's something you're getting kind of way out there now, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm getting back to the Word of God. Too many times we don't want to think about the Spirit. We don't want to think about giving control up to the Spirit of God in our lives. But apart from when I died as an old creature, when I accepted Christ and that old nature was gone, He gave me that new nature. That new nature is lifeless without the Spirit of God. These bodies were lifeless without the Spirit of God. Why do we need revival? Are we scattered? Are we walking around as zombies? Because we don't want to ask God every single day of my life when I get up, God, fill me with your Spirit. I don't care what else happens today, but fill me with your Spirit. Take control of my life. Use me. Do whatever, but please fill me with your Spirit. Because then it's all you. It's not about me. It's about your Spirit. And the thing I like at the end of verse 10, it says, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them. Man, if you ask, he's going to give you. Because that's his desire. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Think about that term, an exceedingly great army. Do you see God as having an exceedingly great army today? Is the church today an exceedingly great army? Less than 2% of the people in here would probably say, yeah, it's an exceedingly great army. Oh, there's a lot of numbers. But what does it take to be an exceedingly great army? You've got to be equipped. You've got to be empowered. You've got to be led. You've got to have all the plans ahead. And man, it really helps if you know the guy that knows how it ends. And the only way that's going to happen is for the Spirit of God to teach me through His Word to be what He wants me to be, and then to empower me through His Spirit to be a great army. David, as a little boy, didn't seem like a great army. Slingshot and a few stones. How long has it been since you prayed to pick up your slingshot? How long has it been since you put a few stones in your pocket and said, God, I'm ready. I'll take on anybody. Because I know I'm going in your cause. I'm going in your power. I'm going for you. Man, that's what he wants. Revival's only going to take place like it did for these dead bones if we hear his word and allow his Spirit to move in us. Otherwise, we walk out these doors and we gradually go back to being mummified until the world has scattered us. You're over here, you're over here, and you have no power as a dry bone. Very little use as a dry bone. But my God wants to use dry bones. He wants to use us. He wants to glorify Himself. Where are we at? As a church, we need to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Hearing the Word, asking God's Spirit to take over. As individuals, are you spiritually lifeless? Are you just walking around pieced together with no power? Or are you just walking in enough power just to get you by till next week? Or are you asking God for your power every single day as you read His Word and as you ask His Spirit to show you what His Word means? Don't just read it and say, okay, God, I read my three chapters. No, say, God, what I read one verse. Fill me. Use this verse if that's all you've got for me, and fill me and change me and be glorified within my life. But ask His Spirit to take that Word and make it alive. You know how many people read this book daily and it means nothing to them? Because they never do it asking God to use it. Asking God to make it come alive. Asking God that it would be a two-edged sword in their life. They wheel this thing around like it's a limp noodle. It has no sharpness. It has no power. Because they don't desire it from the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this, we understand where God has us. In a revival sense, we all know that we're somewhere between, every person in here is somewhere between that driest of dry bones, which is not out of God's use, to that person that is, hey man, I've got all the muscles. They're all put in the right place. I am where I need to be. But we all, wherever you're at in that scale, the bottom line is that the power of God's got to be in control, or it doesn't matter. You have to have what God calls you to have, and that's the Spirit of the living God living inside us. If you don't have that, then understand this. Just like God took these lifeless dead bones, He can take a spiritually dead body, and through the blood on the cross, through His death, the death of His Son on the cross, He died for you so that you might come to know Him, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be redeemed. He wants to take your dead, spiritually lifeless body and through the power of Jesus Christ, bring you to a point of life in Him. He took care of His part on Calvary. All you've got to do is hear what He's saying to you. Come unto Me and I will give you rest. If you ask for forgiveness, He will give it. Hear His Word. Pray that His Spirit would come into you. That He would change you. That He would mold you and make you into what He desires you to be. And He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wherever you're at today, hear His Word and pray in the Spirit. And don't stay where you are. Allow Him to move you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray that You take this passage that, Lord, it was written to Old Testament Israel. I know it's talking about You reviving them. I know it's talking about the day that You reunite with them. But Lord, I also know that there's so much I can learn. Lord, there's so much I need. I know we're not a hopeless cause. Lord, I pray for each person in this room, wherever they're at on that scale, that You would draw them to You. Draw them to You, Lord Jesus. be glorified. Lord, don't let us walk out of here the same. Help us to see your love for us. Lord, we pray for your touch. We pray for a moving of your Spirit. In your precious name I pray.